Hey, what's up, everyone? You're listening to the Man Reinvented Show. I'm your host, Scott Taylor. I'm a former door-to-door salesman who gave up a six-figure income that I earned in just 4 months out of the year to pursue my passion of making a bigger impact in the world. This is the podcast where I talk with amazing people making big changes to fulfill their deeper purpose. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everyone, to the Man Reinvented Show. This is Scott Taylor, your host. I've got an amazing guy with me today, John Ferguson. I actually met him at a Steven Larson event. It was OfferMind. And he's been in the sales industry for 18 years, is it?
Yep.
And, he currently has kind of a different level of coaching and consulting for different companies, where he sets up call centers and does a lot of training and coaching in that space. Done a lot with real estate. He's a real estate investor, but he's got this podcast. It's called Legendary Closers. It's an amazing podcast. So go check it out. But John, why don't you just introduce yourself real quick?
Sure, certainly. So I've been in sales for, probably like 22 years or so. My father was a salesperson door to door. He actually sold sprinklers.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was really cool. Right. He was, he worked for, it's called Rainbird Sprinkler. And so he would go door to door and sell people on having a free plan done with just drawing out a map of where the best sprinkler should go in their yard. And by the time they're done, they're like, well, we need someone to put all this together. Right.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of his free offer at the door, and he moved forward. So I just thought, you know, being a salesperson, being in command of your own income was awesome. Until I really learned what that meant. Like, my father was laid off seven times before I was 17. We were in and out of my grandparents' house. And so I grew up in and out of my grandparents' house. So I kind of saw some of the struggle too as a salesperson, but I was always intrigued with it. And so that's kind of my history. I've been an entrepreneur, been a real estate investor. I've spent probably $200,000 on educations and trainings for, you know, other gurus and mentors and people to help me. And so I'm not opposed to spending money on something that's going to help me level up. Uh-huh. So I'm pretty sure your audience, Scott, is investing in their time and their energy in what you're doing and what you're offering to them. And so, you know, you probably have a really good audience. And, you know, we like to surround ourselves with people who want to go to that next level and who aren't afraid to be legendary and live legendary now. Typically what happens is you find people who, you know, they think the word, you know, legend or icon is something after somebody's passed away. What we want to do is help salespeople live a legendary lifestyle now and minimize the heartache that it is sometimes to be a salesperson. So that's in a nutshell what we're doing in some of my past.
Okay. Well, just curious, how do you live legendary now?
Right. So a lot of people talk about balance, right?
Uh-huh.
Work-life balance, sales-life balance. I think one of the greatest things that I ever learned is that balance is subject to the person, okay? Subject to me, subject to you. Balance for you is going to be completely up to you. Balance for me is completely up to me. And so when I say live legendary is that you know what your goals are for your life, for the way you want to live your life, and you then wrap those goals around with a business. Or like for us, when we teach salespeople is, okay, what do you want to drive? Where do you want to live? How do you want to make your life legendary? Like what is it you're doing now that is holding you back? And so we'll take a look at somebody's goals and focuses first when they do planning, because everybody wants to make money. And when we talk to salespeople, like, well, I want to be making $10,000 a month. Like, I want to be closing high ticket sales and I want to be crushing it six figures. And I'll say, why? What is it that is going to get you there? So first off, as we help our salespeople, and one thing that I do is every year I take a look at my goals. What are the things I really want? And what are the things that I'm doing to get myself there? Like, what are the sales processes? What are the systems that are in place? What are the things I have to do in my business to help me live that way, rather than chasing the money and then hoping to spend the money on the lifestyle? And so you have to engineer it in reverse. And I find that 85-90% of salespeople chase that dollar because they think once they get the dollar, then they can live that special life. Well, that might come 30 or 40 years down the road, but you can actually accomplish it now if you engineer it the right way, if you establish your goals the right way, and then you make that the anchor of your lifestyle, is how you want to live and where you want to live and who you want to live with, you know, family, friends, the relationships you have that you cherish, the entities you want to invest in. And then that's going to give you a trigger of, hey, how much do I really need to be making? How many hours do I need to be putting in? Or am I even in the right sales position, right? Mm-hmm. Am I in the right company? Am I selling the right product that's going to give me the return that I need? And so I typically help high ticket salespeople find also the right product and services that they can sell if they're not selling themselves as a coach. We work with a lot of coaches, a lot of influencers that have salespeople that have a tough time. And I don't think that there's a lot of respect for salespeople because of sometimes they overembellish. They go beyond the features and benefits of the programs and the
product. Overpromise.
Yeah. And so when we can actually get somebody connected internally to their core of what they want, then we can engineer everything else around that. And then they can actually build a lot of momentum because now they feel like they're going somewhere. They can feel like they're accomplishing something as they're making those sales and those dials and those calls. And the hard days aren't as hard anymore, even though they're tough, but they can push through them because they know it's just a process. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Yeah, that was a good answer, man. I knew it would be something like that. Basically engineer your life on purpose, right?
Right. Totally.
Plan it out. So, well, cool. I'd love to hear a little bit about your kind of where you got started. I know you were telling me you worked back with Robert Kiyosaki, and I don't know what was before that, but have you ever done door-to-door yourself like your dad?
Yes. Okay. Well, that's funny. So when I was 18 or 19, I had a friend of mine said, hey, you got to meet this company. It's a fantastic company. They've got one of the best products on the planet, and we're going to go meet a bunch of people and sell it to them. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I saw that he was making some money, and I was like, okay, let's go do this. And he had like this box of knives. And at first I was like, well, this is weird. Like, did he go pick those up at Kmart? Cause that's the store back then. And then they're going to show these knives and he's going to sell them. So I went on this meeting with him, not knowing what the heck it was. And he was really just selling hard, like these people to buy these knives that they were, you know, better than sliced bread, but yep. You know, you got to buy them. Right. Uh-huh. And I found out later that was like my first experience into MLM, network marketing. And I think it was a company called Cutco Knives.
Cutco. Yep.
To this day, I don't know if those knives are good. Like, to this day, I don't know if the product is awesome or not, because that was my last experience with door to door.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like the experience. It was very high pressure. We're in somebody else's house. Uh-huh. And the guy pretty much kicked us out of the place. And I was like, dude, we got knives on the table. If he really gets angry, we're dead, right? So as a 19-year-old kid, I was like, I do not want to do door-to-door. But what I did learn is that the way that I was selling was completely wrong. I nickname it benefit bashing. Our community of salespeople, we don't like to benefit bash, right? The whole old school, share the features and benefits, answer questions, handle objections. That's out the door. I haven't done a features and benefits pitch probably in 15, 16 years. It's unacceptable for our close people, our sellers. So, anyway, so my history really with sales though came after, some time in the corporate world. I used to work for a company called Hollywood Video. I was a district manager. I did really, really well until I found out that I wasn't doing so well because of the industry. And then obviously you guys know Hollywood's gone, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
I got out, became a real estate investor. And I wanted to be an entrepreneur because I don't want to feel like I was being laid off again. Like, as I previously said, my dad was laid off 7 times before I was 17. Lived with my grandparents, a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath house in Southern California, where my grandma and grandpa had their bedroom. Me and my 2 brothers had a bedroom, and my great grandmother had a bedroom. My parents shared the living room.
Wow. And
although we had a really great growing up, we had a really great family and a really great relationship, I still saw and felt the hardship, right? So sometimes my dad had 3 different jobs. We'd go clean churches on Saturdays to be prepared for Sundays. And back then, the church we went to had a program where if you weren't doing very well, you'd come clean the churches and you can make a couple $100. Mm-hmm. So we'd go clean churches. And that, me as a little kid, I would go in and I'd take the chalkboard eraser and I'd go pat, 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 pat all over the chalkboard. And we'd go running out. I think it was like 5 or 6, right? I thought it was the coolest thing. The chalk smoke goes everywhere. Uh-huh. And then my dad, I'd hear him go, Johnny! Because he's got to go back and do the work and we got to get on to the next thing. And I never wanted to feel that pressure. Uh-huh. A lot of love, but there's all that pressure and anxiety. And I feel like I'm one of the lucky ones because my parents didn't get divorced. Uh-huh. They stayed together. They fought through that and ultimately made it. That's where I kind of fell in love with entrepreneurship and sales. And I got into network marketing. I got into real estate investing. And I found a company that I fell in love with. And I was there for about 5.5 years. Became one of their top. I was in the top three. It's actually the third from the highest salesperson in the company. We did multiple millions of dollars in real estate investment education sales and won all the contests. So I fell in love with sales. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easier to do that when you're winning, but then the company again took a dive. Yep. And like that was what I found out. Being in an MLM, you're told you're an entrepreneur, but you're really a glorified employee.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was like, oh man. And so I still had all my real estate assets and I went through another downturn, lost everything. I had a partner embezzle from me. My very first rental property was lost to a foreclosure because I couldn't get to it in time. And sold off all the rest of the assets and I ended up in my parents' basement. And I was looking around going, dude, like I literally wasn't on my own yet. And I said, there's one skill set that I know that I can do very well, and that was sales. Mm-hmm. And I was bound and determined from that point to getting out of an unfinished basement and never feeling that again, never being dependent on anybody else again other than myself, my skill set, and who I could serve. And so that's what kind of put me in a position to really hone my skills as a salesperson and do it differently. I've worked with Zig Ziglar, Tom Hopkins, Jim Rohn was one of my first mentors. I was lucky enough to work with him for a very short period of time before his passing. Mm-hmm. I was at Zig Ziglar's funeral here in the Dallas area when we moved out here, had some opportunities to work with Zig. So there have been some mentors in my life that taught really good sales, but the market has changed. The environment for sales has changed, but I haven't seen the training change. There's a new spin on it, but there hasn't been a model that actually reverses the process and authentically helps people sell. And so over 16 years about working with these other organizations, developing a new process, that's where I said, we don't benefit bash anymore. We can actually align the results with what people want and help them succeed. So
by benefit bash, meaning that you don't like bash your competitors.
So know. Benefit bashing, meaning if you were to throw an objection at me, for instance, well, you know, IBM's got the same computer, right? Or, you know, Mac versus PC, right? Then I say, well, you don't know Mac very well. Let me go over the benefits again. And here's how this works, right? Or for instance, I know that you do a lot with some of the network marketing industry. For instance, if I get into like the differences between like network marketing or I'm pitching my friends or I'm coming in and people are coming through a funnel to me, mm-hmm. and we get into kind of an argument, right? When you have to
us versus them type thing.
Yeah. And or it's, well, our benefits are better than those guys, or, you know, our benefits are better than yours kind of a thing. No one's ever closed a sale by arguing.
Yeah.
And if they do, then that person typically cancels or hates you because they purchased, or they are on your leg. Like they are just tied to you because now they expect more from you and they expect you to take care of them and do all the work. And nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was curious about you don't do features and benefits anymore. So what do you teach then? What do you sell?
Yeah, that's the last thing that we share are the details of any program, of any offer. And we'll just use a sheet that has the details and we'll read it down. So like it's, you know, you're going to get this, you're going to have this many calls, you're going to have this product, you're going to have this video and bam, 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 bam. Cool. What we do is we have a question process that we take everywhere. I call it Sick Fury, sales inception questions. And these questions help us get deeper than just the surface answer. A lot of salespeople will ask a question, get a surface answer, and because they think they know what the needs and the desire is of the client based on that answer, that one question, they'll move past it. And then there's going to be this underlying concern that can pop up later. And so what we teach too is just to really verify what it is that they've said to you, right? So if you're if you're selling, let's say, a network marketing company or buying into a business, and you say, well, what is it that's got you interested in buying this business today, right? Or investing in this training today? And they're like, well, I want to make more money. I'm sick of my job and I want to make more money. A lot of salespeople won't go deeper on that. They'll go, okay, cool. Yeah, of course. Like if I start a business, this person wants this because they want to make more money and they want to quit their job. So they write that down thinking that is the reason. It's typically not. If you ask a couple more questions based on that answer, which is what we would call a broad answer, we want to get more pointed and say, okay, what about your job right now is forcing you to make this decision today? Right? You've been there for 15 years. I'm sure you could find a way to make more money there. Or you had a ceiling. What is it that, what is it that is now wanting you to make this change? And then they're going to give you a deeper answer, right? Because you're asking them to go a little bit lower, right? Lower on the information, more of a pointed scale. Then they're going to tell you what their need is typically. At this point, it's, hey, well, I need to make more money because I've got these bills, I've got these challenges, and what I'm doing right now just doesn't cut it. So great, we got the needs. And if we stayed with the broad-based answer, we would think what? That we had their internal reason, the emotional reason, because they want to make more money because they're sick of their job. That's wrong. It's not there. Yep. We have to go one level deeper, right? And then we're going to ask, okay, you got all these bills. Why do you want to eliminate them? And it sounds like you're at the surface of what you're doing. What really is, if we're able to handle this for you, if you, owning a business, you know, maximizes your profitability in a way that you, all your bills are paid for, you're able to pay off your debt because you're making so much money. What is that personally going to do for you? What's that going to do for you in your life? What's that going to do for you and your family or your future? So now I'm asking them to tell me deeper. Like I'm trying to connect and have them tell me the answer because I want them to tell me how I can close them.
Yep.
Okay. And so at that point I get the answer. I can hear it and I can see it. I can write it down. I've got an internal reason, right? I want my family to believe in my ability as a father. I want my children as a single mother to realize I did everything in my power to give them the best life possible. Boom, right there.
You get down to those core human needs of love, certainty, being liked, the core things. And that's usually what it's attached to, right?
Yep, and you got to wrap that into your script. Once you get that, you have to utilize that core need or that core value, that's that emotion, and that has to be wrapped down into your script going forward. That way, when you're interviewing this person, you're going through these questions, you can use this to wrap into the offer. As a salesperson, you're going to make an offer, but you want it to be able to be tied to their needs so that it feels like it's custom tailored to them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So simply put, it's like acting like a child. Well, why? Well, why? Well, why? The third, fourth, why? You're like, well, I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. I want, right? So
yeah, and make sure that you change the languaging of each question so that it doesn't sound like that, because they probably have kids and then they're like, oh, yeah, I just told you.
Yeah, but that's my five-year-old. Why, daddy?
Right.
You know, and I'm like, she really makes me think. And that's, you know, that's kind of what you do with this type of questioning. Have you heard of that book, Question-Based Selling?
I have, but I haven't read it. I've read a lot of books. I haven't read that one.
Yep. Yeah. I had someone mention that. It was actually my uncle. It was on a Facebook post.
Okay.
He was mentioning that book. So, okay.
Cool.
Well, cool. So obviously, John, my audience with the podcast being Man Reinvented, you know, I told you my story a little bit. I was in the door-to-door industry for, you know, 10 years, basically at the top of my game, and just felt like I needed a change and I needed to stop moving every 6 months. That's what I used to do. I'd move to Texas or California or New York or wherever for 4 or 5 months, make my 100+ grand, come home, go to seed for, you know, basically just sit around, not sit around, but from fall to the early spring, I'd be home. So I know a lot of people in this situation. Plus there's other people out there, maybe a car salesman and he's sick of doing it. You know, I've transitioned into high ticket sales where I can literally work wherever I want. I can live wherever I want. It's given me a ton of freedom, and I've plugged into online, you know, influencers. It's an amazing option. And what would you, I guess, what's some advice that you would give someone that's in that situation where I was, and how they can make this transition and open their mind to all these other possibilities, being a high ticket closer and selling for people that are influencers that generate their leads through online efforts?
Certainly. So a couple things. First off, I'd want them to take inventory of what they really want. It sounds like you didn't want to travel anymore. You wanted to be home. You wanted to be in a position that you could spend more time with your family than having to leave, right, for months on end.
Yep.
So first off, I'd have them, hey, what is it you really want? How do you want to live your life? And I'd have them write that out maybe in 100 question. You know, I'd say, okay, look, write me a list of all the things you want, from the house to the travel to the family, the things, everything that you've ever wanted, and make that list. Then I want them to go through and prioritize those things maybe in like a 3-month, 6-month, and 12-month period of time, 3 years, maybe 6 years out. And I do this every year. Once a year, I go back and revisit these goals. But what I want them to really consider now, once they write these things down, is I want them to first off consider, how can you accomplish those things with what you're already doing? And the reason why I say that is, instead of transitioning into maybe a new type of sales that they're not used to, or maybe instead of transitioning into offline to online, how can they maximize what they're currently doing to get what they already want? Because they have some habits, they have some momentum, and they have a skill set that works, okay? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I find that if I have that conversation first, they're still high ticket salespeople because they're doing so much volume, but then they can show themselves more valuable to the organization or the company and run teams of people, maybe not be on the road as much, maybe not be away, or maybe not be on the telemarketing sales floor dialing 100 dials a day just to get to the people, right?
Yeah.
So first, what is it you want? Second, is it possible to generate the revenue and the time freedom in what you're currently selling? And if you can, how do we engineer that now so that you have to make a drastic change? Now, that's first. And the reason why I say that is once you get into a career of sales, once you're out there, like you said, at the top of your game, you know, it's like Michael Jordan saying, okay, look, I want to start over in baseball.
Yeah.
Right? He's killing it in basketball. And he's like, look, I had this traumatic thing happen in my life. I want something new, but I'm going to go try baseball, right?
Or golf.
How that happened. It was a struggle for a while. Who says he wasn't going to kill it, right? But it took him a while. Then he's like, okay, I'm going to come back to basketball because that's where I know I'm the champion, right? So I use that analogy to help salespeople understand what is it that we can do right now and what you're currently doing to give you the things that you want here before we move you. Now, it may be a lateral move from company to company, but in the same type of selling, right? Maybe at one organization that's, you know, selling some type of coaching or masterminds isn't paying the amount and the leads aren't as good as this other organization that if you leveled your skills up, you can go do. It's a lateral move versus a complete new game, right? So sales is not sales, and that's the reason why I'm saying that. Because I would be horrible right now at door-to-door sales. I'm telling you right now. Like, I would not be good. It would take me some time to get the game down. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So sales is not sales, right? There's different games within sales, and there are some core principles at work. So I would hate to take someone and say, okay, well, in order to get your dreams done, you're going to have to completely leave what you're currently doing to get there. But there are then those people that are just sick and tired of what they're currently doing. They're failing because they've fallen out of love with it. And there is no way that they're going to take a minute, 30 seconds to look in it on if they can actually accomplish what they want to accomplish with what they're currently doing. So that person, I would say, okay, now we've got to take a look at another avenue, another vehicle in the sales industry, if that's where you want to still be, on how to make the same amount of revenue and money in the shortest period of time, and then level your skill set up. Go into the business with a package, right? Don't just go there as I'm the salesperson. Go there with, I've got a process. I've got a system. I could run this place. What I want to do is show you, hire me, and give me that chance, right? I would rather have my salesperson whale over-prepared and take the lowest ring on the ladder and start from there, because you'll skyrocket. Mm-hmm. Case in point, I had left the Rich Dad organization. Well, it was actually Wealth Intelligence Academy, and we were through that transition and everything. And I went out and did some entrepreneurial stuff, worked with a few other influencers. And then they wanted to contract me back to be the sales trainer for, I think it was about a year. But when I came back, I said, look, I'm going to start it again. I'd been gone for, I think, about a year and a half. And so I knew some new things were happening. So what did I do? I started at the bottom on purpose. Mm-hmm. Even though I was contracted there and I got a percentage of the entire Salesforce revenue, I started at the bottom on the phones, learning the script again, learning the process to make sure I knew that I was on the bicycle and I could still ride it. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully that makes sense for you and your audience, that, you know, just because you're disenchanted with what you're selling, or you may not be making the right amount of money, or your life isn't where it's at, take a step back and go, okay, here's the things that I want. So get clear on what you want, and then go, can this happen within the organization that I'm doing, or is it the model of sales? Is it door to door? Is it telemarketing, or is it speaking, or is it high ticket sales in the back of the room at a seminar? What is it that I'm currently doing, and can I make this life happen that I want? If you can say yes to that, then it is, okay, is it the organization? Is it the commission structure? Is it that I've not asserted myself enough with this organization to say, hey, look, I want more responsibility, and I want to train people. I want to build, you know, you can actually, a lot of these companies are super stoked when closers can come in and then add another dynamic to their organization that helps them make more money. You can mm-hmm. do that. Forget about it. And then it's the third. It's, hey, if none of that works, the organization, the type of sales that I'm doing, then that industry, then it's time to go, okay, what industry can do it? What products are those that I can make the money with? And what's my learning curve? How long is it going to take me to learn this new method of selling so that I can actually crush it, go in there? And what's the system I'm bringing with me? What's not my resume, what's the packet? Like, what am I bringing in my bag? Right? What am I bringing to my bag, my toolkit, that's going to mm-hmm. make me more valuable when I do go say, hey, look, I want to close for you. I want to sell for you. Here's my toolkit.
Is that your headset?
What's that?
Is that your headset?
This? No, it's a bag.
Oh, just a bag. Okay.
A bag. Headset's over here. Headset, okay. I'm full of headsets, dude.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you want to come with your tools, right? Yep. And your toolset is your game. Like,
your systems, how you do it.
Right. But don't mention the past sale process. Like if I came into high ticket closures and I said, I want to hop on your call floor and I want to sell the $50,000 and $100,000 packages. Uh-huh. But you know, what I used to sell was door to door. If I wasn't selling those high ticket packages door to door, don't even mention that, because it's not going to resonate with the person hiring you if you're looking for a job. That makes sense?
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good information. Appreciate that. Now, I wanted to ask you really quick, if you were going, if you're going to like shop around for high ticket closing situations, and you're a high ticket closer, what would be the questions that you would ask the different influencers that you would, that the opportunities are coming up with?
Awesome. So this is one of the things that we do when we evaluate influencers and their business before we go in and help them redesign their back end. Uh-huh. Okay. And so first off is you have to know the marketing, right? If you're a salesperson, you want to know the upfront marketing. What's going on in your marketing? Like, what are the current offers that are out there and what type of lead is being generated? Right? Mm-hmm. Are they buyer leads? Are they solo opt-in leads? So you don't know if they have any cash. Are they purchasing your continuity program and the leads have been generated at $67 a month, $50 a month? What is the lead mm-hmm. From that marketing? And what's that message? And because as a high ticket closer, you want to know where, if you're working for somebody else, you want to know what that lead is so that you can hop on the phone and know what you're running into. Because once you know what the lead is, now you can see, okay, well, what's the offer after that? What do you need a high ticket closer for? That would be the next question, right? So what's your product? Is it a $2,000 product, $5,000? See, I consider high ticket sales being able to close somebody within 30 minutes to an hour on anything that's $2,000 to $100,000. Now, I know that that's a big range, okay? Mm-hmm. But depending on the industry that you're selling, depending on the training that you're covering, the coaching, the masterminds, the boot camps, you're going to have a single part or two part or sometimes three part sale. Mm-hmm. And so you'd want to ask those questions. Okay, what is the product, right? What's the commission on the product? Because now you have to equate your time to the amount of time you're putting into getting the dials done. Mm-hmm. And what is your closing ratio now from the team you have? What are you guys doing? What's your per ticket, right? On 50 leads or 100 leads, how many people buy that high-end offer, right? Because now you can start to feel a gauge for people buying. The other thing too is I would also, if they're willing to, like I get a lot more information because I'm building out the center. Mm-hmm. But as a high ticket closer, you want to know how these people are paying for it. Meaning, are you getting executive type people who are, you know, is the marketing attracting, you know, guys who are making six figures or more, families who are making six figures or more? Are they college graduates? What's your marketing? Yeah, you need to know the demographics in order mm-hmm. to gauge your ability as a high ticket closer to sell them into higher end products. Mm-hmm. If it's all over the place, just realize your commissions are going to be all over the place.
Yeah,
because you're going to want to talk to everybody to find out if you have resource there. Those are a few questions I would ask immediately going in. Okay. And then what's your lead worth, right? So if they buy the introductory $57 product and then they buy a $1,000 product, is that when I get the leads? Or do you want me calling the people that have never purchased from the webinar? Or, you know, what you want to know what tier you're dialing these leads.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to also prioritize who you're dialing and what they've purchased and how much they've already invested in and how long they've been with the company.
So where you're plugging in as the high ticket closer in their indoctrination sequence, if they're right. really indoctrinated and they're like really hot leads and you're plugging in then. So, okay.
But have they purchased anything?
Yeah.
If they haven't purchased anything, you get a lot of people that are tire kickers that want to get that free information, but just don't have any revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you know if they've purchased or not, because you want to prioritize the buyers at the top of the list and then on down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The buyer is always a buyer. Once they spend money with you, they've opened up their checkbook. They said, hey, look, I want to have more. You'll have a simpler time getting that person to invest in a higher product or program than you will the person who's never purchased. And so if you're trying to sell a $10,000 package to a non-buyer, but they've watched every YouTube video that's ever been created by this person, you're probably one out of every 10, 15 people might purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And so your closing ratio is a lot lower.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I'm always curious about that because in the sales world, I mean, I've sold in the door-to-door industry, I sold for, what was it, like five different companies. Mm-hmm. When I owned my own, obviously I was stuck there. I did my own thing, but once I sold the business and then I was in a position to contract out, I was jumping around. And you're always looking for, you know, you're always asking other companies how, you know, how it would be. And so it's similar in the, you know, high ticket, you kind of jump around. I've noticed a lot of high ticket salesmen, they kind of jump around and they go from, you know, position to position. And have you noticed that yourself?
Yeah. It's
a lot of turnover.
Yeah. So there's that has sometimes more to do with the lead itself. Uh-huh. And sometimes the organization, because they'll change their marketing method. I actually just did a podcast episode on this. They changed the pot. They changed the marketing or where they're advertising. And so the lead quality can change.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. Really good, high-performing closers won't stand for that. I mean, mm-hmm. the guys that are making a good six figures, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year as closers.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't stand for it. Like I would walk away. I'd be like, okay, look, you just screwed up your leads. They were a, you know, $1,000 buyer. Now you're only able to sell them $400 in product up front. because of the quality of person that's coming through that funnel, it's going to be a lot more difficult for me to close a $20,000 package on a $500 buyer than it is a $1,000 buyer. There's a gap there. And yeah. So that means we have to sometimes double or triple the amount of effort on the front end on the amount of dials to dig out those who have money. And you'll find your good closers, if they're used to that and they weren't notified of what's about to happen and there aren't systems in place to help dig through those leads faster, then they're going to go find the greatest game in town. And the greatest game in town's ready to accept them because they want to close more sales and they know you're really good. It's like the old history of the ad agency back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. You'd have these phenomenal copywriters and creators who would sometimes go from different companies because, you know, they want to be on the best accounts. They want to be the ones that generate the most ability to perform and make income for themselves. So that's why you see guys jump around. And sometimes call centers die. They just go away. And so you'll see people bounce from 404 because, you know, the one influencer or one subject matter expert will say, well, I'm not doing the coaching next year. So sorry, guys, you guys can sell the other products. And then everyone throws their hands in the air and like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Uh-huh. They got to go find another product. You got to go find another service to sell.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting world to be in sales.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we've gone on to about 50 minutes here, but, I think one thing I want to ask, the last thing I'd like to ask you is if there's some good books that you would recommend, or maybe some systems. You have a coaching course yourself for beginning salespeople, don't you?
Yeah, beginning, intermediate, and executive.
Okay.
All three.
So what's your course called?
So I have a free course. If you go into our Facebook group, we give it to you, Facebook Legendary Closers. Facebook.com/groups/ legendary closers, or you can find it by just going to legendaryclosers.com.
Okay.
We give away a completely free course on how to ask better questions. And what we talked about is going those different levels deep, in order to uncover kind of those secret buying triggers that you can note down as a closer to get people to beg to buy from you, because you're weaving that into the sales process.
Uh-huh.
That is completely free. I just wanted to offer a crap ton of value. So any of your listeners that want that, they can get that for free. They can use that and rock house with that. And I'd love to have feedback. If they're like, hey, look, this is working, or that's not working, or here's how I've done it. We love feedback because the market's always changing. And our group on Facebook is that. It's for legendary closers, meaning people who not only want to live legendary, but we want to help each other succeed. So it's not a group where there's any spam. We police that like crazy. I bounce people out of there all week long. We only accept certain people who are legitimately looking to level up in sales. I'm not looking to be the biggest group. I want to be a better group, and with people who actually have the desire to learn a better way to make sales. But yeah, if they just go to legendaryclosers.com, they can opt in, get all of our courses, scripts, training, all there. It's all right there on the page.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Go there, guys. If you're looking to get into sales and up your game. One of the themes of my podcast here is, you know, if you want to do more, if you want to be more, you want to give more, you have to grow more. And so, you know, this is, you know, that's why I started this podcast, is I want to level up myself and take it to the next level in my expertise, in my professional life. So go check out John's Facebook group. Sounds like an amazing group.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's a fun time.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much it for me, John, unless you have some last minute words you'd like to say.
No, that's it. I appreciate you having me on the podcast and on the video vlog here. You're doing some phenomenal things. I've watched some of the things you're doing on Facebook already, on your personal page there, and what you're trying to do for your own life, and sharing that
journey
with us all. So,
there's one other question I thought of. I forgot to ask you.
Sure.
So I'm developing. I don't know if you've seen this a lot in sales professionals, where they do what they do, and it's trapped in their head. Like, they can just do it and they can't really explain it. How would you talk to someone in that situation where they're trying to learn how to teach what they know? You know what I'm saying? It becomes more intuitive, and like you just kind of over 10 years of selling door to door, I was an amazing salesman person, but I never read the training manual. You know, that's the type of salesperson I was in the door to door industry.
Yeah. So one of the best ways to do that is either start training, get a group of people that will come out and spend some time with you. You know, set up a meetup, or go to a local MLM meeting and offer your services completely for free, and then start training, but in a way that says, "Hey, look, I want you guys to ask me questions as I'm teaching this." When you do that, record that, because they're going to ask questions that will pull out of you all the information that you stored in there. Right?
Okay.
Things that you'll take for granted because you just automatically, intuitively do
will
come out, because most people aren't intuitive to those things in sales. They're not, like, even some of the things I may have said here on your podcast aren't going to be intuitive to some people. So they're going to have to ask me more questions, or, you know, go through some of the training to get, oh, I get it now. I know what they're doing. And so in order to get yourself in that kind of the frame of mind, is take a topic that you want to, if you're not going to do the speaking or get in front of a group, take a topic that you're looking to train, sit down for 30 minutes tops, and write down all the things you know about that one topic, that one skill set. Walk away from it, go play some basketball, go swimming, do some jumping jacks, do whatever. Come back to that topic with a fresh new piece of paper and do it again. Ask yourself the question, what are all the things I know about this topic? And it doesn't matter if you write the same things down, okay? Yeah. Because you're going to write two or three or four things that your memory go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. But because you stepped away from it, it does take a little bit of time or effort. Or the third one is get in a mastermind where everyone's sharing their skill set and it's open dialogue. Hey, I've got a question about sales. What about this? How does this work? How did you do this door to door? What made you successful in door to door? What happened when people said this at the door? What happened when, you know, they would slam the door in your face? Would you knock again? If they threw an objection, the spouse wasn't there. How did you overcome that door to door? So you're going to get people asking you questions, and then you'll just start answering. Uh-huh. And then you can also record that content as well, which will help build these memory joggers. The best way is either speaking it to a group that you're allowed to ask you questions while you're speaking. Second of all is that second method of writing it down, walking away, writing it down. And then third, obviously, is getting interviewed in a mastermind of two or three people that you trust. And you're all asking each other questions about it. But if you set the mastermind, tell them up front and say, hey, look, I'm really trying to draw out some of the skills that I've learned over the years that are just automatic to me. Whether you're, you know, you want to ask people, if you're interested in selling door to door, or you're interested in selling period, I want you to come ask me all the questions you've ever wanted to ask so that you can level up in sales. And then that way I can pull this out of me. But for me, I'm trying to get all this out of me. So I need your help to come to this mastermind and ask these questions, and then reward them with something, get them all free Kindle or something like that. You know, give them something for showing up and helping to do that.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I've been doing Facebook Lives. I basically have aspirations to create a course about sales myself. I'm not really clear on what that would be, but I've just started. You know, I've started teaching, and man, sometimes it's painful to try to figure out what's in here and put it in a nice, articulate way so people actually understand it. And I've also found, you know, doing on lives, Facebook Lives, there's not much, you know, feedback other than, hey, you know, people jumping on there. So it's a new experience for me, but it's been really good. I've learned a lot, and, you know, I'm pushing myself to, you know, kind of, I guess, get to that level.
Yeah. I mean, I would go right back to the things that you trust, that you know you can do better than anybody else, hands down, and start there. And so it sounds like in like the door-to-door industry, the type of sell that you're really known for and that you can rely on is you could probably go knock on anybody's door and sell them anything at all. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what it is. So there are people out there that do door-to-door who have to. There are stories of people out there like losing their income, losing their livelihood, and they have to go door-to-door that would die for a course like that. They would die for help with someone who – and that's not me. I wouldn't be able to teach that. But you are somebody who has the expertise that can teach that. And then you can not only have a course, but you can have manuals, you can have scripts, you could do an entire training based on role play at the door. I mean, you could make it comedic. One of the things we do with our high ticket closers is we have them go back to back, and then we have one person act the client, one person act the closer, and I've got them all scripted out into these cards. And, you know, some of the things on there are pretty hilarious to really throw the closer off, right? I want that. There are things that would never happen in a sale, but the reason why you train at such an extreme is so that when you're in a situation that might be extreme to one person, for you, it's like, oh man, that's weak. Like I can overcome that now. So you could do all kinds of stuff like that. I could literally, I don't know of any door-to-door courses other than, hey, come with me and go door-to-door. That's all I know of. And so that's an industry that's probably begging for an opportunity like that, that would be picked up by all the big guys who do door-to-door, from security to, you know, bug spray to, you know, we get a lot down in here in Texas, the guys that do hail damage, you
know, roofers. Storm chasers, yep.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, that was my last question.
Sweet.
I appreciate the advice. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being on. That was cool. So guys, if you're watching, if you're listening, if you like what you're hearing, go subscribe, go give me a comment, give me some feedback. And if you know someone that would benefit off of, you know, the people that we're having on here and these conversations, share it with someone. Would really appreciate it. So, but John Ferguson, thank you so much for being on here, and everyone, you have a great day.